of teaching for Bungie tonight. And I know we're going to be pausing the overview of the book of Leviticus, and I'm sure a lot of you are waiting with anticipation to see what bodily function or nasty discharge can we talk about this week. I know that's what you were thinking, but we're just going to put that aside for a little bit. We're not going to be talking about that tonight. Seriously, though, all joking aside, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, for one of the books that's supposed to be, like, really boring and, like, well, really gross at times, I mean, it's been a really awesome series. I've really been blessed by it. And I hope you guys have, too. And if you have been blessed by it, you ought to do two things. Number one, just praise God and thank Him, because only God can make pus and disease bless you, okay? First of all, that's just number one right there. But number two, you ought to just let Bungie know. You know, just let him know that you're being blessed and that you're learning from it. I'm sure he'd enjoy hearing that. So tonight we're going to take a trip, though, out of the Old Testament into the New Testament, all the way to the end of the book of Colossians. And it's right there in Paul's typical sign-off in chapter 4 that we're going to find the most of our message. We're going to find all of our stuff right there, just in this typical sign-off. Because it's in Paul's ordinary sign-off that we find his extraordinary love for God and for people. And it's his love for reaching the lost and discipling the saints that makes Paul such an awesome example for us as we continue to grow and mature in Christ. So tonight, we're going to see how Paul comforted and encouraged the family of believers. And we'll see what he did and what he used in order to make sure that they stayed connected and motivated. So we're going to be reading in verse 7, and we'll go all the way through the end of the book. And as we do this, we're going to see that as Christians, we should be encouraging and comforting the family through our presence, through our prayer, and our communication. And it's through these verses that we can understand how to stay connected, encouraged, and comforted. So we're going to begin our study by looking at how we can comfort the family of believers through our presence. We're going to begin right there in verse 7. It says, Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they will make known to you all things which are happening here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. Now, we're going to stop right there. Let me ask you a question. What would it have been the same if old Tychicus had just kind of run by and dropped off the note? Gotta go. It's good to see you. And he drops off the note and he runs off. Would it have been the same? Because what Paul said is that he sent him there to just go hang out and to talk to them, find out how they're doing, and tell them how he's doing. It wouldn't have been the same, right? I mean, he walks up to the door and like, oh, come on in, you know, you're probably, no, I got to go. I got three more churches to hit before sundown, whatever it is, you know. No, you're tired. Come on in. We'll give you some wine or Kool-Aid, whatever, you know. No, I got to go. You know, they'd still have the note. They still have the letter that Paul sent. They could read it and be blessed by it. They would still be blessed, but man, how extra special is it for him to just sit down and just give a personal account of everything that's happened to Paul, of everything that he's seen happen, and just to learn everything that's happening to them. So from my experience, it's just awesome to visit with somebody, you know, and from what I hear from you guys too, it's awesome to sit down and talk about God with somebody, especially, you know, like you're out and about, and you meet those people like from your old church, the church you really love, and you're like, man, I just love that church. It was awesome. You know, and you meet those people, and you just start talking to them. And you're finding out what's going on with all your old friends and everything that's happening there, and it's just a huge blessing for you. Now, the one thing I will say is not everybody is like that. I mean, not everybody who went to your old church is like that, you know. There's some people that you probably shouldn't talk to. If the first thing you want to ask them is, oh, hey, Bob, have you repented of your wicked ways? Probably not the best time to talk to them, okay? You probably should leave that alone. Or if your first comment is, wow, Betty, it's been a while. I'm surprised God hasn't smote you yet, you know. That's a red flag that you should probably not, you know, go there. So, but for the other people, the ones that you can't wait to sit down and talk to, there's something special about just sitting there face to face. You know, you have that connection with them, and you get to look them in the eye. You see their body language. You see their emotions. And so it's special in that sense. You know, even in normal life, you know, there's something to someone's presence. If you're scared, you feel better if someone's with you, right? You know, no matter how illogical it is, you know. There's a homicidal maniac with a gun, and you grab your little daughter to go with you. Like, what is that going to do, you know? But you feel better just because somebody else is there. You know, if you've ever been, you know, like in a house by yourself and you're like just sitting there, you know, you're kind of freaking out, you know, but somebody else comes in and now suddenly it's not so bad. It just, somebody's presence has something special for you. You know, maybe you've had a loved one die, you know, and it comforts you to see people show up to the funeral. You know, they don't have to say a word. It's, their presence says everything to you. It shows that they care. You know, there was a study done on men's heart rate in comparison to the proximity of their wives. Guys, I know what you're thinking. And no, the results did not show that men's blood pressure was always high when the women were around, okay? I know that's what you're thinking. I know several of you are thinking right now, clearly they didn't have my wife in that study, you know. Just be careful because you're going to get in trouble. All right? Now, actually, they found that when wives were in the same room as their husbands, their heart rate actually went down. It actually calmed the husbands. They actually seemed to relax more when their wives were near them. Now, I've tried to come up with several other explanations. Maybe the wives bored them. I don't know. They lost the will to live. I don't really understand. I don't know why. But I'm just saying that the study showed that men were more relaxed. Oh, there's some studies you just love to talk about. All right, anyway. But no, seriously, we need to understand that there is something about a person's presence that can affect people in a very real physical and emotional way. Go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Because I think Paul understood this concept when he wrote Hebrews. He understood that there is something empowering and encouraging about having people in your presence. We're going to look at chapter 10 of Hebrews. We're going to look at verse 24. Verse 24 in Hebrews chapter 10 says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." So here Paul is exhorting us that when we are together doing what we're supposed to be doing, then we will walk away feeling encouraged and loved and challenged, which is exactly what we're supposed to be doing. In other words, we should be walking away ready to serve God. We should be walking away refocused and ready to go in the world and be a light in the darkness. Now, here's a question. Why can't you just write some emails and letters back and forth to stir each other up to love and good works? That's a fair question. Well, Kathleen Begley, who's a doctor and an author, she wrote the book Face-to-Face Communication, Making Human Connections in a Technology-Driven World. She wrote, "As wonderful as electronic devices are, they can never fully replace the intimacy and immediacy of people conversing in the same room, and it has worked for millions of years." Aside from the last part, it's an interesting comment. In other words, she's saying that when you talk face-to-face, it means much more to you. You see the person in flesh and blood. They become real to you. In fact, Scott Baradell of Marketing Professor's Daily Fix says, "Generating empathy is the reason I recommend face-to-face communication. Emotional detachment makes people cruel." So in other words, when you're in the same room with somebody, it's much harder to be mean to them. Right? I've learned that even on jobs. I mean, when you're talking on the phone with your client and they are yelling and screaming at you, "Why can't you people do this right?" And they get there and they're like, "You guys are so awesome." And you're thinking, What alien stole your body? And I mean, seriously? It's just weird. But that actual presence, that face-to-face, makes them so much nicer. So face-to-face is always the way to go. Now, while I hold the Bible in much more esteem than the opinion of Scott and Kathleen, their opinions actually line up with the way Paul thought. Face-to-face first, letters second. You know, it's so much easier to blow someone off when you aren't face-to-face with them. You know, if you're on the prayer chain, it's, you know, you get an email that says, hey, Bob really needs your prayers, you know. And, you know, you can empathize. You can kind of go, oh, yeah, poor Bob, you know, I'm going to pray for him. But if you're sitting there face-to-face with Bob and Bob's telling you, I don't know who Bob is, but Bob is telling you, you know, his problems, how he's in pain, how he's hurting. That is so much more real to you, and you are going to be so much more fervent in your prayers because you actually feel Bob's pain. You actually understand what he's going through more because you've been face-to-face, seen the emotion, seen his body language. And you've actually communicated with him right there. So Paul tells the Romans, I mean, this isn't the only time. Paul tells the Romans he wanted to come to them. You know, he says, I want to be face-to-face with you. He tells the Corinthians the same thing. He tells the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians, you don't have to turn there. It says, for this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. Now, some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills. Paul wanted to be face to face with them. And when he wasn't face to face with them, he was sending somebody else. You know, if he wasn't telling the churches that he was going to try to come there himself, he was sending someone to tell them all the news. Paul understood face-to-face communication. But really, when you get down to it, let's face it, you can't always be there. You know, there's going to be those times where you can't be face-to-face. So what do you do then? I would say we probably all agree that our presence is best, but what about those times when you just can't make it? You know, between visits, you know, when you don't have the money to fly somewhere, whatever it is. Well, when we can't comfort the family with our presence, we can comfort them with our prayers. We can comfort them with our prayers. Take a look at Colossians again. Look at verse 12, and you'll see what I mean. Verse 12 in Colossians chapter 4, it says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you and those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. Now here, Paul lets the Colossians know that they have a prayer warrior on their side. However, it's not just a prayer warrior. I mean, he tells them that he is always laboring fervently for you in prayers. You know, most of us don't have this kind of a prayer life, do we? You know, most of us, if we were to be honest, would have to admit that when we pray, we're more likely to fall asleep than break out into a sweat, right? I don't know about you guys. Most people don't walk out of the bedroom, oh, I just got done praying. Whew. You know, I need a drink. But that's the picture that Paul is painting. You know, it's more likely that people think that we're comatose than for them to think that we're praying. Can you imagine what this guy's prayers were like? I mean, just think walking in on him praying. If this is the picture Paul's painting, think of walking in on him praying. Man, we need to stop praying contrary to the way we feel. In other words, pray with some feeling. You know, God knows how you feel. Why hide it? People have asked me before, oh, Dave, I yelled at God the other day. I'm like, well, you were yelling at him in your heart. Why not yell at him out loud? I mean, it's not like you can hide how you feel from God, you know? You go, God, I really praise your name. And inside you're going, I can't believe you. And God's not listening to your words. He's listening to your heart. The Bible's very clear that man looks on the outside. God knows your heart. So you might as well be real with God. If you're saying things that are contrary to what your heart's saying, God's seeing right through it. He knows exactly what your heart says. So you might as well stop being unreal with him. You know, if you're praying those boring prayers, you know, and you really feel excited or you really feel upset, you need to be excited or upset. Or maybe you're praying boring prayers, and that's really how you feel. You just, you know, no wonder we, sometimes when we're praying that way, no wonder we feel like we're not quite sure what God's talking to us about, you know. I don't know, I just don't seem to get answers from God, you know. Maybe it's good, oh, Lord, I just want to thank you, because thank you for the day. And inside you're thinking, is the coffee ready yet, you know. And no wonder God's sitting there going, seriously? Really? That's what you're bringing. I told you to bring in. That's what you... Okay. All right. You know. I mean, and maybe, you know, maybe he's speaking to us the same way we speak to him. What if that was true? You know, you're praying those prayers and God's like, well, I'll answer you that way too then. You know, not just despite you, but to spur you on to greater prayer and devotion, right? Because the more he speaks softly and kind of, you know, where you can't really, you're like, what, God? He's trying to get you to listen. He's trying to get some feeling. Wake up, you know, take some ginkgo biloba or something. I don't know, but wake up. Go ahead and turn to James chapter 5. Seriously, though, think about it. In our life, isn't there comfort knowing that people are praying for us? I mean, you just feel better knowing that all your friends are praying for you. If you look at James chapter 5, we're going to look at verse 16. Verse 16 in chapter 5 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, I saw some of your faces when I read that, because you're thinking, wait, my friends have to be righteous when they pray for me? And you're getting a little worried right now. You're not sure. I understand. You know, but you know what? The fellowship time is going to be a little tense tonight, because people are going to start, look, John, I'm going to have to ask you to step up your walk if you're going to be praying for me. You know? Oh, Eddie, I'm taking you off my prayer chain. You know, I found someone else. You know? Oh, please don't do that. That's not cool. Don't have those conversations. But, you know, God knows your needs, and he's going to take care of you, even if he has some questionable people praying for you, okay? That I promise you that. But the idea is that people's prayer avails much, and that should give you comfort, okay? It means that people can affect your life no matter where they are in the world. A person in Texas can pray for someone in Chicago. A person in China can pray for someone in Texas. A person in Iraq can pray for someone in China. We have the most effective global network in existence, and we always will. Cisco has nothing on God. In fact, one church took that whole concept to a whole other level. They did it especially for children. This is cool. You know, prayer, just comforting people. They actually took this, especially for children who had hurt themselves badly or they were extremely ill, and they wanted to cheer them up. They would give the kids a little beeper, a little pager, you know. And then they would give the number to anyone who wanted to pray for them. And then every time somebody prayed for them, they would dial up the beeper. And so the little kid's sitting there, and all of a sudden, beep, 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 beep. And they know somebody just prayed for them. Isn't that cool? You know, so just throughout the day, you know, the little beep, 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 beep. And the little kid's going, ah, somebody just prayed for me. I mean, that would be awesome. You know, the article actually mentioned that the kid, it really worked well, and the kids just loved it. And just all throughout the day, it encouraged them and lifted their spirits, you know. And you think about how awesome would that be, you know, you're like hurting, and just as the pain gets to be too much, the little beep, 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 you get a little beep. It's like, oh, praise God, you know. You know, you're upset because you can't get around real well, and just about the time you get mad, you beep, 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 you know. It would be so cool. Of course, I'm just thinking, if it were me, the beeper would break without me knowing it. And I would be sitting there the whole day going, oh, I can't believe nobody's praying for me. I don't understand. So, yeah, that's just me, though. But but the idea was that it's just an awesome way to encourage someone. You know, and that's exactly what Paul just did here in Colossians. He told them that Epaphras was constantly praying for them. In fact, it's not the only time that Paul did this. He told the Ephesians, You don't have to turn there. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, did not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And of course, he goes on to tell them exactly what he prays for them, which is even cooler because they know exactly what he's praying for. He told the Colossians, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints because of the hope which is laid up in heaven. I mean, are you catching that Paul was into prayer? Not only that, Paul was all about telling people that he was praying for them. Not just praying for them, but telling them that he was praying for them because he knew it would encourage them. You think we should learn that, learn from that? Yeah, absolutely. I think we should because I think those people got those letters and knew that they had an awesome servant of God that was rooting for them and that was lifting them up to the Lord and was thinking about them and praying for their needs. I believe that brought them comfort. You know, what people knew that you were doing, what if people knew that you were doing the same thing for them? Wouldn't that be encouraging to them? You think it would bring them comfort during the hard times? I know that I personally, throughout my time in this church, have had two people come up to me personally and tell me, hey, Dave, I'm praying for you. And not just like, hey, you're my prayers. Like, hey, you know what? Today, you are my prayer life. And one of them said, this week, you are my prayer life. You know? I was just like, what? Seriously? You know? But it was cool. It was encouraging to me. Because they even asked me, well, what should I pray about? You know? And you're like, I got a list. Hold on, you know. Let me type it up, you know. But how it was awesome to me that they did that. It was encouraging. And it made me feel good. Not because I thought that was important. I mean, believe me, they told me that they hated my guts, but they were going to pray for me anyway, just to make sure I wasn't prideful about it. But the concept was it was encouraging to me, and I enjoyed it. So I got to tell you, you know, this is something that is really cool. And I would encourage you guys that you can do the same thing. You know, it would be awesome if we all started doing that. How cool would that be? Like, every week you're just like, you're my prayer life this week. And they're like, oh, yeah? You're my prayer life this week. And everybody knows that there is somebody who is praying for them all week. That would be absolutely awesome. We'll draw names in the hat out of the hat back there later after service. But that would be cool. But, you know, maybe you want to start off small. You know, just join the prayer chain. Most of you guys know this, that we have a prayer chain. And it's just a group of people that just have their emails set up in a little group. And you send an email to Jeremy or to the church. And it gets forwarded to me. And there's prayer at calvarysouthaustin.com you can send it to. That gets sent to me. We send it out to the prayer chain. And there's people praying for you the whole day. That's cool. You know, that's encouraging. Especially because you got to understand, you know, you can pray for stuff and God likes it. But God would much rather give a whole bunch of people the opportunity to pray for you. Let them all get the blessing for it. So we've got to grasp that kind of heart for prayer. And that heart that Paul had. And we need to use it to benefit the body of Christ. This way we can comfort and encourage the body through prayer, even if we're not able to be present. However, there's one last way. This is going to be a quick way. There's one last way that Paul encourages the family of Christ. Take a look at Colossians. Go back to Colossians. We're going to pick it up in verse 16. Colossians chapter 4. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's do 14. Verse 14 says, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church that is in his house. Now, when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. This salutation, and by my own hand, Paul, remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen. So here we see the last way that Paul comforts and encourages the family of believers. However, I don't think it's any less important than the other two. It's not like I graded them or anything. I think that this is an awesome way to comfort and encourage the family of believers. And Paul definitely agrees, because there in verse 16, Paul tells the Colossians to make sure to read all the letters that he sent and to make sure everyone else reads the Colossians letter. He wants to make sure everybody's reading all the letters. He wants to make sure everybody's reading all the letters. You know, you see, Paul knew that each church could benefit from reading what's going on with the other churches. Why is that? Why does he believe that? Well, I think it's the same reason we get inspired when somebody tells us a story about how God used them. We're just sitting around talking and somebody tells us a story about how God used them. And I'm sure it's happened to you. You know, if not, maybe you should have more exciting prayers. I don't know. But, you know, you should be inspired by people's stories like this. You know, someone tells you a story about how they got to witness to someone or how God used them in this way or that, and it should inspire you. It just, man, it inspires you. You decide that you want to be used like that. You decide if they can do it, you can do it. You know, I believe that's exactly what Paul was hoping would happen. You know, as all the churches are being talked about for their faith and they're reading each other's letters and talking about doing awesome works, the churches would have inspired one another, and it would have pushed them on to greater works. And in the same way, we can inspire one another when we tell others what's happening in our lives. Now, it may not even be anything that you think is that amazing, but God can use it in people's lives. You may think, just a little blip on the radar, and God uses it for something this big in somebody's life, because only God can make pus and disease bless you, remember. But look back at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Because this is really the verse that reveals Paul's plan. It's a culmination in a sense. Verse 24 of chapter 10 in Hebrews. We're going to go back there. Just as I was reading through and studying, I just thought, you know, this is just the best verse. It just says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." And this is exactly what Paul's plan was, to get us pushing each other forward, inspiring one another, stirring one another up to love more, to sacrifice more, to reach out more. And that's the plan, and it only happens when you start talking to your brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, we have to get past the, "Oh, how are you?" "I'm good." You know, we're off to the next person, you know. "Oh, how's everything going?" "Everything's okay." You know, "All right, good. I'll see you next Sunday," you know. I mean, how many times do we do that? We have to push past the pleasantries and get real with one another. And when we do, things are going to change, because we're going to build deeper relationships. We're going to see more good works come out of us. And we're going to see this church get closer knit. We're going to become one body. So how do you do that? Well, first of all, I want you to start writing letters and mailing them to people. And you think, "Well, Paul wrote letters, I'll just write letters," you know. It'd just be weird. But you can write emails. You can write people emails. Just send your friends an email and tell them what's going on in your life. And allow them into your life. Allow them to be blessed as they get to know what's going on with you. You know, what about Facebook? Oh, yeah, I said Facebook. You know, you'd have to be discerning about what you put up there, because you got your Christian friends and your non-Christian friends. But it could inspire a brother or sister in Christ, and it might witness to somebody, to one of your unsaved friends. Something you might think about. Now, again, do be discerning when you do that. I mean, I don't want you to, like, "He said I can witness on Facebook," and there's, like, you know, 5-page long dissertation about God's, you know, love and everything, which is good, but probably not going to touch many people on that. But if you just want to share what happened to you, go for it, you know. But what's the best way? The best way is face-to-face, right? Well, you have a perfect opportunity. Face-to-face is before and after service every single Sunday, every single Wednesday. You have perfect face time. So don't go running off. Stick around and inspire yourself. You know, Wednesday nights are designed for exactly this thing. That's what Wednesday nights are designed for you to start talking to one another, inspiring one another, using your spiritual gifts to encourage and drive people forward, you know, pushing forward to do good works. Another thing you can do is have dinner with someone. Have dinner with another couple or with a group of people, you know, and just get to know them, hear their testimony. You know, you're going to find out things that you never knew, and you'll be blessed for it, you know. The point is to start communicating and stirring each other up. I mean, it's simple. Paul wasn't doing anything complicated. This was not a 12-step plan, okay? It's very simple stuff. He was connecting with the body and helping others connect as well. And we can all do it. We can be there for someone. We can allow our presence to bless someone. And in doing so, through fellowship, we're going to be blessed too. You know, we can take the time to put our eyes on other people's needs and their pain and their lives and take the focus off ourselves for a little bit. What else can we do? We can be a prayer warrior. You can sign up for the prayer chain if you want. You know, be the person that wants to pray for people. Ask people what they need prayer for. You know, a lot of times it's kind of weird when people come up to you and go, "Hey, what do you need prayer for, man?" At first you might kind of go, But when you really get down to it, how cool is that? That somebody would actually just ask you what you need prayer for. Those are the people you really want to be friends with. Everybody else out. No. But the idea is that we want to pray for people. We want to comfort our brothers and sisters in Christ through our prayer. You know, when we do these things, we're going to encourage each other. We're going to be encouraged. We're going to comfort our brothers and sisters in Christ and be comforted. We're going to grow and mature in Christ and be the family of believers that God is calling us to be. You guys may not think about this much. God is calling you not just to where you're at. He may be calling you in a singleness. He may be calling you in marriedness. Is that a word? It is now. He may be calling you to your job. He may be calling you to a church. And when he calls you to a church, he calls you to a family of believers, to be one body. And so many times we forget that responsibility as a Christian, that we need to be one body. We need to be a family of believers here, encouraging and comforting one another, playing our part in that body. I want to encourage you guys to think about that tonight. Let's go ahead and pray.